نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد باب آداب الشرب واستحباب التنفس ثلاثا خارج الإناء وكراهة التنفس في الإناء واستحباب إدارة الإناء على الأيمن فالأيمن بعد المبتدئ. عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتنفس في الشراب ثلاثا متفق عليه يعني يتنفس خارج الإناء. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشربوا واحدا كشرب البعير ولكن اشربوا مثنى وثلاثا وسموا إذا أنتم شربتم وحمدوا إذا أنتم رفعتم. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. ونبي قتالة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتنفس في الإناء متفق عليه يعني يتنفس في الإناء في نفس الإناء. The chapter on the etiquettes of drinking and the it being light التنفس ثلاثا to breathe thrice out of the utensil وكراهة التنفس في الإناء and it being disliked to breathe in the utensil واستحباب إدارة الإناء and it being مستحب light to pass the utensil على الأيمن فالأيمن from the right hand side thereafter the right hand side بعد المبتدئ starting from the first person. أنس رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would breathe thrice في الشراب in drinking. شراب, the word شراب can mean the drink itself. And it can also mean in drinking. So it is over here it is meant that whilst drinking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would breathe thrice whilst drinking. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi clarifies يتنفس خارج الإناء. He would breathe outside of the utensil, not in the utensil. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed, لا تشربوا واحدا, don't drink in one go, in one gulp, don't chug the water. كشرب البعير, as a camel does. ولكن اشربوا مثنى وثلاث, but rather drink twice or thrice. In two goes or in three. وسموا إذا أنتم شربتم and when you drink say Bismillah and when you finish then say Alhamdulillah. Or وإذا وحمدوا say Alhamdulillah إذا أنتم رفعتم when you move the utensil away. And Abi Qatada رضي الله عنه he says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade from breathing in the utensil. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he clarifies breathing directly into the utensil. These first three hadith, a hadith of this chapter, they convey one message in simple terms that number one, when breathing, a person should avoid chugging the water. In one go, a person should avoid drinking all of the water in one gulp. Rather, a person should drink in three goes, two goes, but not in one go. For many reasons, number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second narration here has mentioned that كَشُرْبِ الْبَعِيرِ that you shouldn't drink like a camel does. Because this is against تَهْذِيبًا and it is uncivilized. It is uncivilized. You'll notice that young children who haven't yet received تَرِبِيَةً when they are playing and you give them water, they will chug this water down. So it for a child it looks okay, meaning it still looks unkempt, but for a child this is acceptable. That shows that it is not the normal way of doing things. So a person should number one, for the purpose of decency, he should avoid in drinking in one go. You know, you'll see when someone normally chugs the water and drinks it in one go, because he's not been breathing for 5, 6, 7 seconds, so he'll breathe in a very uncivilized manner also. So with waqar, with dignity, a person should drink in three gulps. Another reason has been mentioned that when a person drinks slowly, when he sips the water, in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the word mas, which means to almost suck the water. So not literally suck the water, but that is used in opposition or in comparison to chugging the water. So drink it slowly. And certain doctors have mentioned that number one, when a person chugs the water down, then the impurities can remain in the kidneys. And you know, it is not good for the kidneys that a person chugs this water down, because impurities can remain within. Number two, the mouth and similarly the throat, it has, you know, the saliva contains an alkaline substance. And when a person drinks slowly, then he gives more opportunity for the water to mix with that and help balance the acidic nature of the stomach. So again, a second benefit. Thirdly, in another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ أَمْرَأُ وَأَهْنَأُ, because it is more pleasant and more خُشْغَوَار, it is more quenching, we can say. فَإِنَّهُ أَمْرَأُ وَأَهْنَأُ, هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا, it comes in the Qur'an also. When a person drinks the water in one go, and he's finished, for a moment he'll feel good and then he'll want more. But you can't drink, there's only so much you can drink. There's only so much you can drink. So if a person pauses, then there'll be another rebate of him wanting more water. So he'll drink again. So now he's quenched. And then third, but when you drink in one go, that feeling of having the water, you know, cool the inside down, it is only felt for a short moment. But if a person pauses, says فَإِنَّهُ أَمْرَأُ وَأَهْنَى, it is more pleasant, it feels more pleasant also. Another reason has been mentioned is that when a person chugs the water down, then obviously the water will cause a change in the stomach, the temperature, the feeling inside. And it is not advised that a person, in any scenario, a sudden change to the core temperature of a body can be very dangerous. A sudden change. So if a person is drinking slowly, then he gives his body the opportunity to adjust. That is why it is mentioned that a person should avoid drinking water first thing in the morning. We do this because it feels really good. But this is especially cold water. It feels really good, especially in the summer months because our body is hot, etc. But it is a very sudden change which is not good for the body. And that is why many doctors have mentioned it is advisable to drink lukewarm water in the morning. Many benefits, as it is good for weight loss also. It flushes out a lot of toxins as well. But these are all benefits. The first point we must always remember is that because number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us in the method in which we should drink. ولكن اشربوا مثنى وثلاثة مثنى وثلاثة. In the second hadith it says twice thrice. So some muhaddithin have mentioned that the objective is that we shouldn't be chugging the water, and the number is not the objective. So you can do it five times as well, six times as well. This is okay. This is the case that a person can break up. So he's about to drink one whole glass of water, and if someone will struggle, you know, sometimes when you suddenly drink a large amount of water, you'll feel a pressure over here. Sometimes hurts as well. So this is because the body hasn't yet adjusted itself on the inside for the water to... You know when you have a bottle of water and you turn it upside down all of a sudden, what happens? It makes a noise. Because the flowing has not... the mouth is not wide enough for the water to flow out smoothly. So similarly when we drink water as well, that same thing can happen, and it is very dangerous for the, you know, for our health. So slowly, in a controlled manner. That is why it is better to drink from a glass, something where a person can control the flow of the water. So if you are using a very big bottle, you know, you get these sports bottles that are sold in the shops. A very large bottle. One is the small one, but a very large bottle. So if there's a lot of water in there, it's difficult to control how much water is coming out. So again, this is not good for one's health. But a person should try and do it in three goes. If the need arises, then don't try and squeeze all of the water into 3 gulps. You can spread it out to 4 also, 5 also. But try and do it within 3. Even if a person is drinking a small amount of water, drink the first 2 small amounts and then the 3rd one, so that you, this istihbab and it being mustahab and liked by the sharia to drink in 3. Because many ahadith have mentioned the word 3 explicitly. You get it? وَسَمُّوا إِذَا أَنْتُمْ شَرِبْتُمْ. The 3rd adab, that when you drink, then say Bismillah. And when you رَفَعْتُمْ وَأَحْمَدُوا إِذْ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا رَفَعْتُمْ. And say Alhamdulillah when you remove the utensil. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayh has explained that it means that a person should drink, and every time he drinks say Bismillah, then remove the utensil and say Alhamdulillah. Then again bring the utensil back, before say Bismillah, then again Alhamdulillah. Bismillah, then drink. Then move it away, Alhamdulillah, Bismillah. Then remove it, Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, and then remove it again and say Alhamdulillah. وَأَحْمَدُوا إِذَا أَنْتُمْ رَفَعْتُمْ. And Qatada radiallahu anhu's narration, it says, نَهَا يُتَنَفَّسَ فِي الْإِنَاءِ. That a person, when he breathes, so the first adab is that a person should breathe, break and pause the drinking. But not only should he breathe, but in breathing he must ensure that he's not breathing directly into the utensil. He's not breathing directly into the utensil. Number one, because this is, someone else may drink afterwards. So this is not a pleasant thing to do, that a person is breathing directly into the utensil. Similarly, it is disliked that a person blows into the utensil. To blow, to cool the food down, this is also dislike that the person, you know, if it is, for example, rice, rather than blowing on the food, get a larger utensil and spread it out. This will cool it down faster as well. But to blow into the thing, sometimes qadirat, dirt or unpleasant things can come out from the mouth when breathing. And you know, if especially if you're eating with someone, even if you're not eating with someone, this isn't a nice way to go about things. وعن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أُتي بلبن قد شيب بماء وعن يمينه أعرابي وعن يساره أبو بكر فشرب ثم أعطى الأعرابي وقال الأيمن فالأيمن متفق عليه. أنس رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, some milk was presented to him, قد شيب بماء, which was mixed with water. So what they would do is that they would sprinkle a little bit of water into the milk, and the objective was to cool it down. The objective was to cool it down. A while ago, I had read somewhere that when a person does in the olden days in hot countries, the way they would cool down the water was that they would wrap the utensil in a cloth and they would dampen it slightly. They would dampen it slightly. And as when we sweat, that draws out heat from our body, so this evaporation would also draw out heat from the utensil. This would draw out heat from the utensil. When I went for Umrah in August, extremely hot, and I saw many people who come from Sudan, you will see that they have an imamah, and they wrap it around almost everything. Now, it's extremely hot, 45, 50 degrees, and you know, you're wrapped up like this. I was confused. But then I realized that what was happening, or what they were doing, is that the sweat that accumulates, that becomes then the cause for coolness. Now it feels, so if someone who's done a bit of exercise, if you stand under the fan, you can get sick, even though your body is very hot. Why? Because the coolness of the sweat, or that wet feeling with wind, so this is how they would cool the water down. So shiba bima'in, they would sprinkle water into it and that would cool the milk down a bit. And water generally would be cooler than the milk itself as well. So this was another objective. But anyways, some nice milk was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his right hand side was a Bedouin. وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ أَعْرَابِيٌ وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. So on the right hand side a Bedouin was sat, and on the left hand side was Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank, ثُمَّ أَعْطَى الْأَعْرَابِيَّ, and then he passed it to his right hand side, and on the left hand side was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but he gave it to the Bedouin first. وَقَالَ أَنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said that الْأَيْمَنْ فَالْأَيْمَنْ, the right hand side first, then the right hand side first. This next hadith is similar as well. وَعَنْ سَهْلِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُتِيَ بِشَرَابٍ. Sahl ibn Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a drink was presented to him. فَشَرِبَ مِنْهُ, and then he drank from it. وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ غُلَامٌ, and on his right hand side was a young boy. Was a young boy. وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ أَشْيَاخٌ, and on his left hand side was some elder people. In the another narration, it is mentioned that it was Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu who was on the right hand side. He was a young boy at that time. فَقَالَ لِلْغُلَامِ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the young boy, أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَاءِ, do you give me permission that I give it to these elder people, ashyakh, elder people? فَقَالَ الْغُلَامُ لَا وَاللَّهِ, the young boy, he said, no, by Allah, لَا أُوثِرُ بِنَصِيبِي مِنْكَ أَحَدًا, I will not give preference to my portion from you to anyone else. فَتَلَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي يَدِهِ, رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ forced it into his hands. اس کے حد میں جو اس کو توست دیا اس طرح. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, this hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif. What lessons do we learn from these two hadith? Number one, it is the right of the person on the right hand side that he is given the drink first. Because in the first narration was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the left hand side. In the first narration, it was Abu Bakr, and in one narration, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was on the left hand side, and on the right hand side was this Bedouin, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, knowing the maqam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah, give it to Abu Bakr. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to teach the mas'ala, that the right is of the person on the right. So he said, La al-ayman fal-ayman, the one on the right, first. And in the second narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he first takes permission. If he had given permission, he would give it on the left-hand side. So the second mas'ala we learn is, that whilst the right is of the first person to the right, he can give permission, so we can take permission from the person on the right to share and give it to the person on the left against the normal order. So if he had given permission, then it was okay to give it to the person on the left. We learn many lessons from this. Number one, we learn the maqam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So look, in this one, in the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, where Anas radiallahu anhu, he could have said that it was a senior sahabi on the left, and on the right was a Bedouin. But he recognized Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a great rank. So this is the lesson he said. Even though it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he gave it to the Bedouin. So that shows that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, his level and maqam was known. His level and maqam was known. Many people who were questioned with regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu becoming Khalifa, so they said that we know the maqam and fadila of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. How can we not, when in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was ordered to lead the salah. So the maqam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known to everyone. To the extent that on the occasion of Uhud, in the battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were trapped and attacked from both sides. So the Muslims, they moved off into the mountain. So if they were attacked from here and here, they moved to one side into the mountains, and there was a cave that they could take respite from as well. So they, you know, they became hidden from the enemy. Sufyan radiallahu anhu yet had not accepted Islam. When he came to this group of Muslims who had taken refuge out of sight from the Muslims, from the mushrikeen, he asks, Hal fikum Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst you? The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates to the Sahaba that remain quiet. So then he says, Hal fikum Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa? Is Ibn Abi Quhafa, the son of Abu Quhafa, yani Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, is he there? Hal fikum Umar ibn al-Khattab? Is amongst you Umar ibn al-Khattab? And upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each time was saying, remain quiet. But Umar radiallahu anhu was at a joshilati, so he couldn't remain quiet, and he said, we are here. But what was the... Even Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who at that time was a mushrik, even he knew the maqam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why he asked first, where is Abu Bakr? Then where is Umar radiallahu anhu? So this group of people who, speak ill of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this is nothing but based on ignorance. I don't want to go into the history of tashayyu'. Maybe in another hadith if it comes up. Another lesson we learn is that the importance that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to adab, that he didn't disregard that on my right hand side is a Bedouin, on the left hand side is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The mas'ala is the mas'ala. So he ensured that the person on the right hand side was given it. A third lesson we learn is to share drinks. Many youngsters, when they share utensils, but can I sky it? If someone is very sensitive, this is a bit of haughtiness. You know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, freely they would drink. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum was also skying the utensil. So we share utensils, share the drinks. Isme muhabbat bhi hote, isme there's barakat in this. One of my teachers, he would say jokingly, these same people who say, I'm going to sky the drink, they give the ice cream to the dog to lick with them. Khud bhi chaat rahe, kutte bhi kuch chatwa rahe. So what happened to hygiene there? This is something that we've just made up ourselves that, is going to be dirty, so I'm going to... Yes, when a person drinks, he should be mindful of how he's drinking as well. He shouldn't drink in a sloppy, unkempt manner. But if no one is doing that, then there is no reason for this. And the fourth lesson we learn, that what this ghulam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he is asked that, can I give to these elder people rather than you? What is he saying? He says, no. He says, because I don't want to lose out on my barakah that I'm going to get from you. The lesson we learn from here is that number one, barakatul sulaha, the blessed tabarrukat, the blessed remnants of the sulaha, this was something understood even amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Even amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They would go and look out for the barakat and blessings of the sulaha. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he would perform salah in a particular place, they would try and perform in that same place. Again, for the barakat and blessings of the sulaha, number one. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't scold Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Because he was his nephew, to jihad, either out of playfulness, or isawa kibbelleh. In Gujarati, if someone was saying, I want it, kibbelleh. This is what happened. He wasn't angry. He was like, fine, take it then. But he didn't scold him. But why are you, don't you know these older people? Hudud. Our behavior with children is, this child, because he is a child, has no rights. Because he is a child, this child has no rights. And so you will notice that when we deal with people, two people are treated inhumane. Our wives and our children, because they can't do nothing. The women folk, it is easy to, have our word over them, so they become, non-human. Unwell today, but still you have to cook. Unwell, but still you have to cook. Everyday guests, friends over every day, you have to cook every day. Why? Because she doesn't say anything. Number two, children. We tease children so much. One thing is playful, that we are being playful with children. And another is that we are taunting and teasing this child. Why? Because we find it funny when he gets annoyed. He can't hit us back, so we know that we're comfortable. But this child is screaming out of frustration, or he's crying, and we enjoy that. Not knowing that this is also a human. And he's also feeling the pain, he's also feeling embarrassed, he's also feeling hurt. And this is why we will find that children, many of the time, when they get to a certain age, They don't respect us. They don't have love for us because we've tarnished that love. We've tarnished that respect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam still gave Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that honor and izzah. So he's asking this young child, his age must have been around 12, 13. He's asking him that, would you give permission rather than these elder people? Yani itni izzat di. Because it's your right, he went out of his way to ask Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So we learn that children, and doesn't matter how strong we are with our words, that does not mean to say that we treat those people who maybe not be able to defend themselves without huquq. You know, my beloved Shaykh, he would always say that our children, give them love, or they will go to look for love outside. Give children love, or they will go to look for love outside. They will involve themselves in illicit relationships. Give them izzah, give them honor, give them respect. Otherwise, they will go to look for respect in gangs. They will look for respect and honor in gangs. Isliye apne bachchon ko muhabbat do, give them love. That doesn't mean to say that there should be no barriers. My beloved Sheikh, Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullah, he would say, ke bachchon ko sone ka lukma khilao, give them golden morsels, but share jaisi nazar rakho, keep an eye like a lion does on its prey. You should know exactly what the child. Many parents look at the time of Taraweeh, what happens. So many children are outside messing about here and there, disturbing people. Why? Because the parents are unaware what is going on. Bas apni namaz ki fikr mein, you are in the first saf, but your child is not. Leave the first saf, make sure he attends the salah. Allah will not ask you, why were you not in the first saf? But He will ask you, your child was under your tarbiyah, why were you not mindful of the fact that he's not in Taraweeh salah? Why were you not mindful of the fact that he's disturbing people outside? But treat children with love, with respect, and make them. This is a time, unfortunately, where there's so much fake love, fake honor available outside. If we don't give it, then we will find that our children won't come to us. This is a time where we will have to be friends with our children. We'll have to befriend our children in order for us to protect their deen, to protect. And I always say that a child is a treasure for one's hereafter. But that doesn't mean, many people say, but I can't give that time to my child for his tarbiyat. So number one, who are you earning all this money for? If work is the problem, who are you earning all this money for? Number two, if friends are the problem, then what use are these friends when your child is rotting at home? And number three, none of this is a problem. It's just something different. You can't be bothered taking that headache. To bacche ko aise hi thoda jana hai. We didn't give birth to these children just for the sake of churning out children. It is as if our behavior is that we want to, take the enjoyment that we get from this child when he's 2, 3, 4, 5. And when he gets to 11, 12, 13, gets a bit rebellious. We forget the fact that, this child is going through adolescence, is going through a period where jazabat and the vigor of youth is going to, stir up inside him. So you need to show this child how to manage this. One of two things happen. We break this child. We complete, or the child, he rebels, and then we give in. No, learn how to, if you don't know, then ask the ulama, ask the expert, that how do we control this child's, because this is, it is like saying to a person that, if someone attractive goes past you, don't feel any shahwat. But this is unrealistic. This is part of the nature. This child, this human will feel this shahwat. So another issue, that the children, so many times the child wants to get married. A 16, 17, 18 year old, he's mature as well. Number one is, if he's immature, why is he immature? You should have, brought him up in a way where he has become mature. Give them responsibilities. Take them to task when they fall short. If the son, he was supposed to, do a particular chore and he hasn't, then ask. Take him to task. Look, this is the consequence. Consequences must be met. Lines must be drawn. But that doesn't mean a person becomes, becomes militant with the child. But the child must know that these lines, once you cross these lines, then my behavior will change with you. So if you give the child plenty of love, and when the child does cross the line, think from before. the level of the crime or the mischief, what kind of punishment will be met out. It shouldn't be that the child has done something very small and we come down on him like a ton of bricks. Because this is number one, unfair as well. And then after a person, what will you do when he does something very big? When he really does something big, what will you do then? So now you are stuck. So these are all principles a person should sit down, think, read books by ulama which discuss these issues and learn how to do tarbiyat. Learn how to do tarbiyat. And learn where this child's mind is. To do tarbiyat and nurture someone, you must think with the brain of that individual. You must think with the brain of that individual. Inshallah, the ahadith which discuss how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would nurture even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they will show this point, that he would nurture the Sahaba according to how they were thinking. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon these points. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Because many brothers will want to eat before the Maghrib Salah, you know, reduce the time of the dars. But try and listen to it over again. I've mentioned many points, but I've done them quickly as well.